Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Genesis, and this is chapter 29. And let's all go to the throne to ask the Lord to bless it. Father, bless chapter 29, bless us, anoint us. The reading, anoint, Lord, the commentary, and any words that you may have, lead me, guide me, direct me in the words, Lord, so that it will sink deeply into the spirits of all those, the minds of their spirits that are listeners, that are hearers, and let it help them, Lord, in their being able to understand the Bible. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Then, Lord, let it make us stand another day powerfully in your spirit. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Chapter 29, King James Version, verse 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. Commentary. Jacob arrives at Paddan Aram. Verse 1. Jacob hurried on, finally arriving in the land of the east. King James Version, verse 2. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. Commentary, verse 2 and 3. He saw in the distance three flocks of sheep lying in an open field beside a well, waiting to be watered, but a heavy stone covered the mouth of the well. It was the custom there to wait for all the flocks to arrive before removing the stone. After watering them, the stone would be rolled back over the mouth of the well. King James Version, verse 4. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep.
Okay, do any of you understand what that meant? You know what I'd like you to do is go ahead and read that, and then I want you to go to the place where I explain what the translation is all about.
Okay. Commentary, verse 4 through 8. Jacob went over to the shepherds and asked them, quote, Where do you live? End quote. Quote, At Haran, they said. Quote, Do you know a man there named Laban, the grandson of Nahor? Quote, Yes, we do, they replied. Quote, How is he? Jacob asked. Quote, He's well and prosperous. Look, here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep. Quote, Why don't you water the flocks so they can get back to grazing? Jacob asked. They'll be hungry if you stop so early in the day. Quote, We don't roll away the stone and begin the watering until all the flocks and shepherds are here, they replied.
Okay, now I want Sharon to read what this what we're doing here on translation. Now, I don't like modern day translations, but I do know that the words that the thoughts have to come. I don't like translations that translate word. But this translation is the thought, so that modern day readers and modern day hearers can understand what it is that the scriptures are all about. You understood that, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. But could you have you found the place?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, read it. Now, this is why we're doing this, all right?
The goal of a person whose desire is to win souls is to translate the meaning of the ancient Hebrew and Greek texts as accurately as possible to the year 2000 reader.
To the modern day reader. Okay? All right?
Yes.
Now, you want to translate it to them to where they can understand it, just to read the words and not what the not know or understand what the thought was that these people were saying to one another. It doesn't do you much good, does it?
No.
So if you understand what their thinking was, and you can tell that it matches up with the word, the King James Version, and the Hebrew and Greek, well, then you've got the right word, amen?
Amen.
The right meaning, the right thought of what they were saying to one another. Okay, then what? So that in itself is a translation. Okay?
Yes.
And then what?
The challenge is to explain the text.
Okay, the challenge of any translator is to explain the text to a degree as to that, so that the people that are hearing it or reading it will be able to understand it. Okay, isn't that what it says?
Yes. The challenge is to explain the text that would make the same impact.
To explain the text in modern day language that would make the same impact on people today as it did on people when they were reading the ancient text back in their day. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying now? So, the Lord wants people to be impacted with His Word today in this modern day and age, in the modern day and age people with the ordinary day, everyday language, so that you will be able to understand it just as the people in the ancient days understood the ancient way that it's written. Do you understand now? Okay, so I'm saying it in a couple of different ways, all right? Okay, so can we go on from there?
This can only be done by translating entire thoughts rather than just words.
Right. You have to translate what is this saying and then put it into modern day language, okay? The thought of it, not word for word, all right?
Yes.
Now, we know that every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God, but He wants the thought of it to come across, all right? Because if you're reading the scriptures and you don't know what it's saying, you don't know what the thought of it is and what it's meant to, what God is meaning to impact you, with, then it won't do you any good, will it? Okay, so that's why we're doing this, all right? Okay, then what?
This can only be done by translating entire thoughts rather than just words into
rather than just mere words. Okay?
Yes.
Because you're hearing words too that are coming down that are spiritual, that it gives you more of an impact than words that of the ancient words and the way that some of these ancient people put it together. All right? If you read the original text, it sounds very crude. And some people or translators have imagined what it's saying. But this is an imagination, because you can match up what we're saying here with the original writings, and then you can understand what the King James is saying. It's just plain, isn't it? All right, then what?
This can only be done by translating entire thoughts rather than just words.
Just rather than mere words. Okay, then what?
Into natural everyday English.
Into natural everyday language. Okay? Or English. English language. All right? Then what?
The end result is a translation that is easy to read, hear, and understand.
Easy to read, easy to hear with your ears, and easy to understand with your mind, your brain, your spirit. Amen? Okay, then what?
And that that accurately communicates the meaning of the original text.
Yeah, accurately communicates the meaning of the original text. Amen?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what this is all about. Amen?
Yeah.
Then what?
Let God's meaning speak to your heart.
Yeah, let God's real meaning of this wonderful Word of God, this powerful Word of God, reach your heart. Let it come into your heart and grab it. Amen?
Yeah.
And compare it to the King James or any of the original Hebrew and Aramaic or Greek, and you'll see that it's right on. Amen? The whole thought is there, right? Okay, then what else?
Let God speak His timeless truth to the church. Let God speak His timeless truth.
Let His transmit or speak His timeless truth to your hearts, okay?
Yes.
In your minds, in your spirits. Then what?
To the church and to the world.
To the church and to the world. Then what?
In its fresh and new way.
In its fresh and new way with the same meaning. Okay? All right. That's it. Now we'll go back into Genesis chapter 29.
King James Version, verse 9. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them.
Right. She kept them means, do you know what that means, she kept them? That she's a sheepherder, a shepherd. Okay? Just like somebody else we read about in the Song of Solomon. Amen?
Amen.
If she kept sheep, that means she's a sheepherder, right?
Right.
A shepherd. Okay, that substantiates Song of Solomon. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 9. As this conversation was going on, Rachel arrived with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherd.
She kept the sheep. Amen?
Amen.
Is that easier to understand?
Yes.
The other just flies right over your head. Amen?
Amen.
And then you can start thinking, say, she was a shepherd, Rachel? Beautiful in every way, Rachel? Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 10. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Commentary, verse 10. And because she was his cousin, the daughter of his mother's brother, and because the sheep were his uncle's, Jacob went over to the well and rolled away the stone and watered his uncle's flock.
Isn't that saying the same thing?
Yes.
Okay, but it's a little easier to understand, right?
Right.
In some cases, people have said it's a lot easier to understand because it's the same thought, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, and the Lord does allow us to expound on his word. And so that means we can, he knew that in the decades to come that the people would speak a little bit differently and they change words and so on and so forth, and that it would need, you'd need to expound on it. In other words, not to just say it by the letter, but by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So it would be more of a spiritual meaning to the people of today. Right?
Right.
Okay, it makes sense?
Yeah.
All right. So don't be afraid. Jump into the water and swim, like Ezekiel says. Amen?
Amen.
By the Spirit. Receive it, because it's saying exactly the same thing. Then what?
King James Version, verse 11. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept.
Yeah, he was weeping because he found out where his family was. That made him happy because he was he was wandering out in the wilderness, and then all of a sudden he had to find his mission was to find his family and marry one of those people, one of the daughters, a man of Laban.
Yeah.
And he found him, just like that. And so here she is, and oh, that's so wonderful. And he kissed her, like a family hug or something, which, and of course, incest is the law, hadn't occurred yet, not for a good many years. And the law plainly tells you that you can't have anything to do with your near kin, your near relatives. Okay, let's go.
Commentary, verse 11. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, and tears came to his eyes. King James Version, verse 12. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. Commentary, verse 12. He explained that he was her cousin on her father's side, her aunt Rebekah's son. So Rachel quickly ran and told her father Laban. King James Version, verse 13. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught?
In other words, my brother, one of my relatives, one of my kin. Amen? Just like we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Then what else?
Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored.
In other words, that means she had beautiful eyes. Okay? And what? And the other one was what?
Beautiful and well-favored.
Beautiful and well-favored. That she was beautiful in every way, both in her face and in her structure, her body. Eyes, nose, ears, hair, everything. Her figure was beautiful too. But the other one just had beautiful eyes. Okay, then what? Now we go ahead to the translation.
Commentary, verse 13 through 17. As soon as Laban heard about Jacob's arrival, he rushed out to meet him and greeted him warmly. Laban then brought him home, and Jacob told him his story.
It's the story of how he had to get away from his father's house because of his brother, and that his mother and father did not like Canaanite women, the Africans, and that they sent him to get married to one of his own kind, because God said that through that family the entire world of all the nations of the world would be blessed and would become part of a spiritual family, one family, both blacks, whites, everything in the last days here, to where there would be no difference, male, female, Jew, Gentile, there'd be none of that. It would just be the family of faith. Okay, then what else? Because it was obvious that the Canaanites and the Hittites and all the other tites didn't have faith. They were evil. Okay, then what?
Quote, "Just think, my very own flesh and blood!" exclamation mark, Laban exclaimed. Jacob marries Leah and Rachel. After Jacob had been there about a month, Laban said to him, quote, "You shouldn't work for me without pay just because we are relatives. How much do you want?" Now Laban had two daughters, Leah, who was the oldest, and her younger sister Rachel. Leah had pretty eyes, but Rachel was beautiful in every way, with a lovely face and shapely figure. King James Version, verse 18.
That'll probably get everyone in the church working out to hell studio. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's obvious that God makes a difference with shapely figure rather than gorilla or moose. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 18. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." Commentary, verse 18. Since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he told her father, quote, "I'll work for you for 7 years if you'll give me Rachel, your younger daughter, as my wife." King James Version, verse 19. And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. Commentary, verse 19 through 24. Quote, "Agreed!" exclamation mark, Laban replied, "I'd rather give her to you than someone outside the family." So Jacob spent the next 7 years working to pay for Rachel. But his love for her was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days.
Now this may seem strange for people in this culture in the United States, but people that didn't have any money, young men that didn't have any money, and they wanted to get married, they would often work for the father of the prospective bride in order that they might pay for her, to get her. Because there has to be a dowry, amen?
Amen.
If you haven't got any money, then just take it out of your hide. All right, what else?
Finally, the time came for him to marry her. Quote, I have fulfilled my contract, Jacob said to Laban. Quote, now give me my wife so we can be married. So Laban invited everyone in the neighborhood to celebrate with Jacob at a wedding feast. That night, when it was dark, Laban took Leah to Jacob, and he slept with her. And Laban gave Leah a servant, Zilpah, to be her maid.
I was just joking about, you know, kidding about this gorilla business, because it really doesn't make any difference today. The Lord doesn't look on the outside appearance, all right?
Yes.
He looks on the inside man, in the inside person. Amen?
Amen.
So it doesn't make any difference if you're skinny or shapely or heavy. I'm being kind. You know, that doesn't matter at all. If a person loves you, they love you. And if you're a beautiful person inside, that's all that matters. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 25. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years.
Okay, so in the Hebrew and Aramaic language, a week means 7 years. But this is talking about a marriage week. In other words, they were married for a week, and then after being married for 1 week, he could have the other wife, but only if he promised to work another 7 year a week for her. Okay, then what? So the first 7 years he worked, and then because he was so irate, he let him, after the marriage week, the first week that they were married, the first 7 days, then he let him have Rachel, but only if he promised to work for another 7 years for him. Okay, go ahead.
Commentary, verse 25 through 27. But when Jacob woke up in the morning, it was Leah! Exclamation mark. Quote, what sort of trick is this? Jacob raged at Laban. I have worked 7 years for Rachel. What do you mean by this trickery? Quote, it's not our custom to marry off a younger daughter ahead of the firstborn, Laban replied. Wait until the bridal week is over, and you can have Rachel too. That is, if you promise to work another 7 years for me.
So, in other words, another 7 year a week. Because it states in the Bible too that Jacob did his weeks. That means he'd served 14 years. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 28. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. Commentary, verse 28 and 29. So Jacob agreed to work 7 more years. A week after Jacob had married Leah, Laban gave him Rachel too. And Laban gave Rachel a servant, Bilhah, to be her maid. So Jacob slept with Rachel too, and he loved her more than Leah. He then stayed and worked the additional 7 years. King James Version, verse 30 and 31. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Commentary, Jacob's many children, verse 31. But because Leah was unloved, the Lord let her have a child, while Rachel was childless. King James Version, verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again, and bare a son, and said, Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi.
Okay, now Levi was a Levite, so it was the priest. And she also gave birth to Judah, which was the priests of the Old Testament and the high priest in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that shows that she may have been hated by her husband, but she was loved by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a good point. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
Commentary, verse 32 through 34. So Leah became pregnant and had a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, quote, The Lord has noticed my misery, and now my husband will love me. She soon became pregnant again and had another son. She named him Simeon, for she said, quote, The Lord heard that I was unloved and has given me another son. Again she became pregnant and had a son. She named him Levi, for she said, quote, Surely now my husband will feel affection for me, since I have given him three sons! Exclamation mark.
Yeah, that was the tribe of Levi, and that was where Moses and Aaron, the priesthood. Then keep going.
Okay. Once again she became pregnant and had a son. She named him Judah, for she said, quote, Now I will praise the Lord! Exclamation mark.
Because Judah means praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And isn't that something how that just came out? And she didn't complain anymore because she had the Lord. She gave birth to that which was going to bring forth the Lord. She says, Praise the Lord. That just entered into her heart. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So the Levites and the high priests, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek was born right through her. Praise God. I just love that, you know?
Amen.
And then what else?
And then she stopped having children.
That was enough. It wasn't through Rachel that all the children of the world would be, people of the world would be blessed. Through Leah. Right, then what?
King James Version, verse 35. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing.
They called his name, Praise the Lord, Judah. It's not Judah, it's Yehuda, right?
Right.
Because there's no J in the Hebrew language, it's Y, Yehuda. And what?
Commentary on chapter 29, verse 4. Haram, Genesis 24, verse 4.
Right, this is now a commentary.
But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac.
Okay.
Commentary on chapter 29, verse 9. The name Rachel means, quote, Eve.
Yeah, just like Adam and Eve, it's Rachel means Eve. So Adam and Rachel were the first two. Amen?
Amen.
Those are little nuggets, amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
29, verse 11. Jacob's tears were most likely those of joy at finding his family. His kiss is not to be copied, since the law, in those days it was customary, but not today.
Since the law, period. But in those days it was customary, but not today, because today we're living in the hour of temptation. And you're not to, it's incest if you have anything, or if you have, you know, you're not supposed to be hugging and kissing one another. All right?
Yes.
Men, women, even family, because it gets close to incest. And incest is against the law. Okay, and then what else?
We live in the hour of temptation, the time to flee from the very appearance of evil, such as incest or any fraternizing outside of marriage.
Between man and wife. And certainly not between woman and woman and man and man. Amen. That's really too much, all right? Okay, then what?
29 verse 13. Laban is often seen as Jacob's, quote, match, end quote.
Right, because he tricked Isaac, and now Laban tricked him. You sow what you reap. If your sins will find you out. Amen?
Amen.
They'll come and get you. Okay, go ahead, read it.
He is obviously God's means of disciplining Jacob.
Yeah, Laban is obviously God's means of disciplining Jacob and making him reap what he sowed. He got Leah. Then what? Or Leah. Then what?
It went on for 20 years.
This deception went on for 20 years. Laban deceiving Jacob. Pulling one trick on him after another. Then what else?
Then on chapter 31, verse 41. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times.
So he'd been tricked for 20 years, amen? So it came back to him in aces and spades. He put a little cabbage seed in the ground and it comes up a great big cabbage, amen?
Amen.
All right, what else?
Through Laban, Jacob gets a good taste of his own cunning, trickery. Yet he displays more character than Esau and wins through tenacity.
Yeah, by sticking, just going, keep going, keep plowing, never stopping. Amen, no matter what happens to you. We all get what we deserve. It'll come. If it hasn't come yet, it will. What else?
29 verse 18. This custom is still practiced when young suitors are without money, funds. 29 verse...
That means they work for their wives. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and then what else?
29 verse 22 through 25. An ancient lamp provided little light. There is not any mention of a lamp of any kind. And the bride was always veiled, as Jacob's mother Rebekah had been. Genesis 24:65.
So people would say, how could he not know that he was with Leah? Because you're used to just switching on the light. But you're used to just marrying a woman and she doesn't have any veil on, or headdress or anything like that. But it's obvious that Leah cooperated with this deception very much. To make sure, let's not turn on the lights, honey, type thing, okay? Laban and her, Leah, conspired together to keep him in the, quote, dark, unquote, until morning. Don't you think?
Yes.
Because it couldn't have happened. I love you so much, Rachel. She says, well, then, if you love me so much, don't turn on the lights. Sure, honey. Okay, what else?
Okay, Genesis 24:65. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself.
Right, veiled until they were married. How's he going to tell? Because one of the people was asking me, you know, how come he didn't know? So that had to be it. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Further, Leah must have been eagerly cooperating in the deception. Our sins have a way of catching up to us. Jacob pretended to be Esau and disguised himself thus.
So Leah pretended to be who?
Rachel,
yeah. A little game of pretend. Okay, then what?
The whole idea of deceiving his father was his mother's, and Jacob discovered to his grief that Laban was just as much of a schemer and dishonest as his younger sister Rebekah. 29, chapter 29, verse 24. A maid was provided as part of the marriage contract. 29, verse 28. Her week was the 7 days of the marriage feast. Judges 14, 17. And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people.
And then what?
After the feast, Jacob received Rachel as his second wife. The difficulty of this, I mean marrying a wife's sister while the first wife or sister is alive, may be the reason for the Leviticus prohibition of such a marriage, to marry blood sisters. Leviticus 18:18.
Yeah, Leviticus 18:18 tells us that you can't marry, you can't any longer have two sisters for wives. Go ahead, read it.
Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister, to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime.
Okay.
Then 29:31-35. God's love for Leah is displayed in her being or becoming mother to the priestly and kingly tribes, Levi and Judah.
Right, the Leviticus priesthood and the kingly priesthood. He's the king and priest, high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Right?
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Well, that was chapter 29 in the book of Genesis. And be doing chapter 30 later on today. It's about what time? 4 a.m. now?
Five minutes after five
in the morning. And I'll be doing chapter 30 later on this evening, God willing. Until then, keep looking up, and God bless you real good. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.